Unfortunately, activist judges and some local officials have made an aggressive attempt to redefine marriage in recent years. Ages of experience have taught us that the commitment of a husband and a wife to love and to serve one another promotes the welfare of children and the stability of society.
Stopping the federal marriage amendment gave the states the breathing room to make different decisions. I want to proceed with equalizing federal benefits to people in committed same-sex relationships.
My position on same-sex marriage has not changed. I do believe strongly in civil unions and the substantive rights that go with that.
There's a reason that I spoke about the importance of gay and lesbian issues. I didn't have to. There's a reason why I talk about gays and lesbians and transgendered people in my stump speeches.
That's, of course, President Bush and several candidates vying for his job with their views on same-sex marriage. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Is gay marriage just like heterosexual marriage, except with a variation in the genders and the orientations involved? We hear that it would have no net effect on society. We hear that it would actually make the relationship between same-sex people better. It would strengthen their bond. It would reduce promiscuity. Is all of this true? As we seem to be heading nationally toward a consensus on same-sex marriage or same-sex unions, and by the way, is there a difference between those two? We're going to be talking about it tonight on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, and thanks for tuning us in. What do you think about same-sex marriage? It's Sunday night, January the 20th. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. We're giving away the pamphlet. I happen to have written this called Same-Sex Marriage, Right or Wrong, to anyone who calls in or sends us an email tonight. 1-800-730-2727. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Before we welcome our guest tonight, welcome to our Bot Radio Network listeners in Northwest Arkansas, KAYH, that's 89.3 FM, and KOFC, that's 1250 AM in Fayetteville, and in West Memphis on KSIV, it's 90.5 FM. It's great to have you as part of the Issues Etc. family. Our guest tonight to talk about same-sex marriage, Frank Turek. He's founder and president of CrossExamine.org, co-author of the book Legislating Morality, and he's also written an article for the Christian Research Journal titled Protecting America's Immune System, A Reasonable Argument Against Homosexual Marriage. Frank, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Todd, great to be with you. Thanks.
Why is it valuable that we learn how to make reasonable arguments in the naked public square about gay marriage?
Because in the public square, if you try and use arguments directly from the Bible and start quoting the Bible to people, people are going to give you this separation of church and state objection. Now, I understand that the Constitution does not separate church and state, but it's a long, long way to go to try and deal with that issue and then get back to why same-sex marriage is not good for the country when you can just make a reasonable natural law argument against same-sex marriage. And by the way, natural law is how our country was founded. We hold these truths to be self-evident. So we don't need to use the Bible in the public square in order to show folks that same-sex marriage is not a good idea. We can use just good reason and evidence.
How do you respond to someone who says, look, if you make laws or a constitutional amendment or something to that effect that limits marriage to a man and a woman, then you are in effect legislating a certain type of morality?
All laws legislate morality. Every law, even the law that says same-sex marriage would be a good idea, legislates a moral position. It says that it would be good for society to recognize same-sex relationships, and it says that folks who don't agree with that, well, that's just tough. You're going to have to put up with it. You're going to have to then subsidize same-sex relationships with your tax dollars, just like we currently subsidize married couples who are a man and a woman. Every law legislates morality. All laws say one behavior right and the opposite behavior is wrong. The only question is whose morality would be legislated, and I'm simply saying it ought to be the morality that's self-evident. We all intuitively understand that men were designed for women and vice versa, and a man-woman union gives the most benefits to society, even if you leave religion aside. man-women relationships give the most benefits to society, and that's why that relationship ought to be the only relationship that we give public acceptance to and public endorsement of.
You make the argument in the Christian Research Journal some time back that, and it sounds odd or even offensive to our egalitarian ears, you say that not all relationships are equal, especially in their benefits or their ills that impart on society. What do you mean?
Of course not. Of course they're not all the same, especially sexual relationships. I mean, to use an extreme, a sexual relationship between a man and a child is not as good as a sexual relationship between a man and a woman inside a traditional marriage, obviously. You only need to take one more step to say a man with another man is certainly not as good a relationship, either for the two people involved in the relationship or for society as a whole, as the relationship between a man and a woman inside a traditional marriage. It's not. I mean, you can just look at the benefits that come from traditional marriage.
Before we get into those details, Frank, let's try and clear something away that is often a little wiggle room for people who want to sit the fence on same-sex marriage. Mm-hmm. And that is, look, I'm against homosexual or same-sex marriage, but I favor same-sex unions. Is this wiggle room? Is there a difference between same-sex marriage and same-sex unions?
Well, not very much. The only difference is that one may have more benefits for it than the other, but basically what you're doing is you're giving public government endorsement for same-sex relationships. And when you give endorsement, what you're trying to do is you're trying to get more of it. Now, more same-sex relationships are not going to be beneficial to society, despite the arguments that the same-sex people give, that they're going to be more monogamous and there's going to be less health effects and all this. That's not going to be necessarily the case. And even if it was, it is no reason to equate man-woman relationships with same-sex relationships. A man-woman relationship does so much more for our society. It should always be the privileged sexual relationship that is endorsed by our society.
What are the societal, if you could outline them, the societal kind of public welfare benefits of traditional marriage?
Well, where do I start? Let me just say that traditional marriage does a lot of things. It domesticates men. It protects women. It provides a nurturing environment for children. Also, government recognition of traditional marriage helps reduce illegitimacy. It helps reduce crime. It helps reduce poverty and welfare. And when you think about it, the two-parent family is the foundation of a civilized society. It's the very foundation of it. Without the two-parent family, where would we be?
What kind of a society? I guess I'm trying to look here. What kind of society is envisioned, as far as you can tell, by those who are proponents of either same-sex unions equal to that of marriage or full-blown same-sex marriage? What kind of society do they envision?
What kind of society does who envision now?
The proponents of same-sex marriage. Do they actually believe that we can incorporate same-sex marriage into society with no changes in that society?
Well, I'm not quite sure what they envision, other than the fact that they're trying to win endorsement for their behavior. Let me put it this way, Todd. In countries which have same-sex marriage, like the Netherlands and places like this, 96% to 97% of homosexuals don't get married. In other words, they have the opportunity to get married, and they don't get married. They don't want to get married. It's not about marriage for them. What they want is validation for their behavior, and they see that the way to do that, the way to get validation for their behavior, is to get traditional marriage passed. In fact, even Andrew Sullivan, who is one of the most articulate defenders of same-sex marriage, who's a homosexual himself, says this, quote, "If nothing else were done at all and gay marriage were legalized, 90% of the political work necessary to achieve gay and lesbian equality will have been achieved. It's ultimately the only reform that matters," unquote. Exactly, because the law is a great teacher, and many people think whatever is legal is moral and whatever is illegal is immoral. So if you somehow get same-sex marriage put on the same level as traditional marriage, you're suddenly now saying that homosexuality is at the same level as heterosexuality.
All right, let's come back to that on the other side of the break, because that's kind of the point. That's the end point of all of this. Is it legitimate? Is same-sex marriage legitimate? I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Live this Sunday night, January the 20th. We're talking about same-sex marriage. Our guest is Frank Turek, founder and president of CrossExamine.org, co-author of the book Legislating Morality. And he's also written for the Christian Research Journal an article titled Protecting America's Immune System. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. And our call-in number live this Sunday night, January the 20th, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Pastor Matt Harrison, Executive Director of LCMS World Relief, on spreading mercy one person at a time.
We run into people all the time and literally all over the world who come up to us and say, you know, at just that moment when I was absolutely down and out, I had absolutely nothing else, your organization helped and made all the difference in my life. And I'll tell you what, we recently handed over 72 homes from Habitat in a partnership with Habitat for Humanity in Banda Aceh. And for those people who've been living in relief tents since the tsunami, those 72 families know the difference one family at a time. It makes a difference one person at a time. And I tell you what, that's what keeps me going in this business constantly.
Find out more about LCMS World Relief on our website, issuesetc.org, or by calling 888-930-4438.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you to pay the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin asking you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. You can donate by credit card, 1-800-737-0172. Or you can donate by check, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Next week on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss Islam with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery of Patrick Henry College. Is Islam a religion of peace? Do Christians and Muslims worship the same God? What are the five pillars of Islam? And what does Islam teach about the person and work of Jesus Christ? We'll talk about it next week with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing for the weeks ahead, just visit our website, issuesetc.org. And while you're there, you can check out two seminaries that are preparing Christ-centered, cross-focused pastors for the 21st century, Concordia Seminary St. Louis and Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne. Now, if you've ever considered the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne and Concordia Seminary St. Louis. Just look for their logos at our homepage, issuesetc.org. We're talking about same-sex marriage. Frank Turek is our guest. Before the break, You kind of hit the nail on the head as far as I'm concerned. All of the maneuvering, all of the legislation, all of the opposition to legislation is aimed at legitimacy. Expand on that, if you will.
Well, what they want, and before I go on, Todd, I need to say this for those of you who are from New Jersey like I am. The New York Giants are going to the Super Bowl. Hurrah!
Oh, it's official now.
It's official.
All right, fine enough.
Hines redeemed himself and kicked a field goal, 23-20. So just so you guys who are true believers can now say miracles do occur, okay? Anyway, back to legitimacy. Yeah, you see, that's what the law does. The law legitimizes people, or I should say legitimizes behavior. And that's what homosexuals want. They want to legitimize their behavior, and they know that the best way to get that done is to get it done by getting same-sex marriage somehow either judicially imposed or get it imposed through the legislature. They know they're not going to get very far through the legislature, so they try and get it judicially imposed. That's why they go to the courts.
Okay, so that explains the strategy up to this point where really the court's done an in-run around all the legislatures, be they national or statewide.
Yes.
Let's talk about the societal ills that homosexual behavior in general, and then if we could focus in on what homosexual marriage would do by way of those societal ills.
Well, homosexual behavior, as you know, is an unhealthy behavior. There's been many studies done, and many of them are very controversial, but it's pretty safe to say that homosexual men in particular die anywhere between 20 to 30 years earlier than married heterosexual men. Even single heterosexual men, they die much younger. They have higher incidences of all sorts of venereal diseases, colon cancer, rectum issues, obviously, and it's not a very healthy lifestyle. That's very well known. And to then put traditional marriage, or I should say same-sex marriage, on the same level as traditional marriage is really a lie, because in no way can two men or two women bring the same benefit to themselves nor the same benefit to society. So why pretend? Why pretend that two men can be just like a man and a woman, or two women can be just like a man and a woman? Don't pretend. Let's be truthful here. And I realize what I'm saying is incredibly politically incorrect, but I'd rather be correct than politically correct.
Okay, you mentioned the kind of the personal maladies that are brought on by living the homosexual lifestyle and engaging in the behavior.
Yes.
What does that mean? Some guy who lives down the street from me is gay. He engages in the behavior.
Right.
He's going to die 20 years earlier. He's going to develop problems unique to that behavior. How
right.
does that affect society as a whole, Frank?
Well, it affects all of us through higher insurance costs, because we're all paying for the negative behavior, health behavior of homosexuals. We're all paying higher insurance premiums because of it. We're paying higher taxes, and we will pay higher taxes for the financial benefits of marriage to homosexuals if that ever goes through. You're going to see a reduction in your employee benefits to pay for those of same-sex couples once same-sex marriage becomes universal, if it ever does. You're going to have workplace indoctrination, which is already happening. You know that. School indoctrination is going to occur as well, where your children will be taught the normalcy of homosexuality despite the health concerns and moral objections of parents. I can foresee a time when preferential adoption to homosexuals will be given at the expense of married couples. Loss of tax-exempt status to organizations that refuse to hire homosexuals. That's what the Employment Non-Discrimination Act will do, which is currently the Democrats in Congress want to jam through. There's going to be a loss of free speech rights, as there is now in Canada. In fact, when James Dobson does a program, if he does a program on same-sex marriage or on homosexuality, he has to edit it before he sends it up to Canada, because they don't have the same free speech rights we have. In fact, I just blogged on this on our website, crossexamine.org. I said you can either have free speech or hate crimes laws, but you can't have both. You can't. Why? Because you're either going to be able to speak freely, or you're going to have laws that will restrict speech, which is what hate crime speech or hate crimes laws do. They restrict speech. In fact, Mark Stein's book, the book I think is called America Alone, if I'm not mistaken. Well, he talks about, this is on a different subject, he's talking about Islam. And due to hate crimes laws in Canada, Mark Stein's book could be taken off the shelf because he says some unflattering things about Islam. And the unflattering things about Islam, never mind whether or not they're true, it's that he may hurt feelings of people up there. And so now his book is about to be either taken off the shelves or have to be edited before it goes back up for sale up there. I mean, this is crazy. It will hurt us.
With only about a minute here before we take another break, Frank.
Oh, can I add one thing, Todd?
Yeah.
60 people in 2005 got HIV via blood transfusions, according to the CDC. You say, oh, that's all been eradicated. It has not been eradicated. You say it's only 60. Yeah, what if you're one of the 60?
You mentioned before Andrew Sullivan. He says, look, if we just legalized gay marriage, then we would find gay couples settling into kind of the long-term monogamy that heterosexuals have enjoyed, and they would start to, it would keep the disease under control and the promiscuity, and all of that would kind of fit into a nice parallel with...
First of all, that's not proven true by countries that have same-sex marriages. I already mentioned, countries that have same-sex marriage, 96% of homosexuals don't get married. So they don't want to get married, most of them. They want normalization, and they know that getting same-sex marriage passed will normalize it.
So, if we're going to listen to someone like Andrew Sullivan, he is painting the best possible scenario that could happen after gay marriage, whereas those who've tried it, it has turned out to be either no improvement or a worse possible
but
scenario.
But even if, let's grant Andrew Sullivan that, let's say it does do that for same-sex couples, even if it does that, it will have a disastrous effect on traditional marriage, which we can explain after the break.
All right, we will. We're talking with Frank Turek, founder and president of CrossExamined.org, co-author of the book Legislating Morality. And he's also written an article for the Christian Research Journal titled Protecting America's Immune System, A Reasonable Argument Against Homosexual Marriage. You can read it under the What's New section of our website right now. Just go there, issuesetc.org, and look for Protecting America's Immune System by our guest, Frank Turek. Now, we'll open up the phone lines after the break for your thoughts on same-sex marriage. We got people waiting, and we're ready to take your call, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. You send in a question or a comment, we get it right here in the studio in real time, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Everybody who sends an email or calls tonight will receive a booklet that I've written titled Same-Sex Marriage, Right or Wrong, 1-800-730-2727. Or issuesetc@kfuo.org. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about several things that Frank has mentioned. One of them is that the law, he said several times, is a great teacher. And we'll also talk a little bit about what happens in those societies where same-sex marriage has been accepted. And where does it lead after that? If same-sex marriage is the first redefinition of marriage that Western society is dealing with, well, maybe not the first, but the first major redefinition, is there really any stopping point after that? If you can define, or redefine, that is, marriage as something other than a man and a woman, is there anything to stop you from redefining marriage as anything other than a man or a woman? We'll answer those questions, and we'll take your phone calls and your email on the other side of the break, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Coming to you live this Sunday night, January the 20th, and the in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org.
What a privilege that we can be an under-shepherd to him, the good shepherd, to tell people about Jesus.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Lewis Brighton, on the process of considering the pastoral ministry.
God would have to call someone personally, and it does it through hearing the Word of God like this, or reading the Bible, or both. And if you should think he is calling you in your heart, then you test it out by talking to your pastor, praying about it, and letting God guide you and so forth. And what a privilege. I tell the students at the seminary, when you become a pastor, God's calling is a wonderful gift.
Have you ever considered studying to become a pastor? You'll find information on Concordia Seminary St. Louis and Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, preparing servants in Jesus Christ. Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, serving church and world.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. has its supporters.
I just want to say that I really like your show. It's really helped me. I'm currently in my preparation to enter Concordia Seminary, and this show, I think, has really helped me with my progress. So I just want to say thanks and keep it up.
We also have our share of detractors.
This message that you're sending out is not the message that God wants the people to hear. You don't have a clue as to what he wants. You are all sinners, and you shall rot for eternity for this. You people are insane. Just burn in hell.
That's exactly why we have the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 314-505-7825. Agree or disagree with something you've heard? Call the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 314-505-7825. The Issues Etc. listener comment line, available for your comments, positive and negative, 24/7, 314-505-7825.
Pro-life leader Dr. Lawrence White on why you should support Issues Etc. in a culture that has forgotten about the truth of God. God's people need to stand upon his word firmly and faithfully. Issues Etc. raises the questions that are in discussion in our society and in our church today in a way that highlights the truth of God amid all the error and the falsehood of men. This is a program that is making a difference in our society, in our church, in our culture, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line at 1-800-737-0172.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc. This allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And our new level, the patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Now, each Reformation Club member receives premiums like monthly tapes, books, and transcripts. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by credit card, our resource line number 1-800-737-0172, or online, issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Here's some recent email from listeners. Mary Sue in Colorado Springs writes, Issues Etc. is like a lamp in the darkness. And here's what Jonathan in Scottsdale, Arizona had to say. He says, I enjoy listening to Issues Etc. archives. I learn so much from every episode. Thanks for the emails. Now, if you agree with listeners like Mary Sue and Jonathan, you can consider partnering with us by joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. It's our monthly or annual donor program. Membership benefits include premiums like monthly CDs and books and transcripts. For more information, look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Now, you can join by check. Just write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. You can join by credit card. Our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172, or join online, issuesetc.org. It's the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Before we go back to Frank, we've got some high school-aged men visiting with us here in the studio tonight. They're visiting Concordia Seminary for the taste of the sem, an opportunity for them to see what seminary life is like, even at their tender age. Let's have all of them introduce themselves.
I'm Daniel Walker from California.
We're in California, Daniel. Oh, all right.
And Angela Lappinson, if you're listening, I love you.
Okay.
Hi, this is Jake Campbell. I'm from Menominee, Michigan.
All right.
Brad Akey, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
PJ Romick, Sacramento, California.
Josh Freeman, Des Moines, Iowa.
Josh Radford, Florissant, Missouri.
Trevor Foster, St. Paul, Minnesota.
I'm Alex Goldsmith from Traverse City, Michigan.
Hi, I'm Corey Meyer. I'm from Florissant, Missouri.
I'm Preston Sunderman from Battle Creek, Nebraska.
I'm Trevor Freidenberg from Norfolk, Nebraska.
Tom Kitson, St. Louis, Missouri.
Bill Heerman, Norfolk, Nebraska.
Well, thank you very much to all of them for coming in tonight, and a special thanks to Pastor Kyle Kastens of Concordia Seminary for herding the cats into the studio. Frank Turek is our guest. We're talking about same-sex marriage. He's founder and president of CrossExamine.org, co-author of the book Legislating Morality, and he's written this article for the Christian Research Journal, Protecting America's Immune System, A Reasonable Argument Against Homosexual Marriage. Frank, let's talk a little bit about these societal ills that homosexual marriage brings upon society, and if we have people who are pushing for it, and they want a big first redefinition of traditional marriage, is there any stopping point past redefining it once.
No. And in fact, I had a conversation with a homosexual activist once because he said, you can do whatever you want as long as you don't hurt somebody else. So I asked him, well, what does hurt mean? Does it just mean physical harm? Does it mean psychological harm, emotional harm? He didn't really have an answer for that. But I said, let me just grant you your premise that consenting adults can do whatever they want as long as they don't hurt somebody else. I said, would it be okay if you consented to have sex with your mother? And she consented, too. And he looked at me, and his upper lip quivered, and he said, yes. Why did he say yes? And why was his upper lip quivering? Because he knew his conscience was telling him, no, that's wrong. But he had to say yes in order to be consistent. See, there's no logical line drawn. If you open up same-sex marriage, or if you open up marriage to same-sex couples, why not open it up to just about any other couple or threesome or foursome or fivesome? Why stop there? I mean, why not have three men and a poodle get married? I mean, the reason that marriage is what it is, it's not because society defines marriage as between a man and a woman. Society simply recognizes the natural design of marriage, a man and a woman. And that's all we need to do. We just need to recognize what's already there. I mean, to say that society defines marriage is like saying that society defines motherhood. No, society doesn't define motherhood. Society recognizes motherhood. And we're kidding ourselves if we think that we can say that two men or two women or three men and three women, whatever, are the same as a man and a woman sexual relationship. It's not. Let's stop pretending it's not.
Before we go to the phones, Frank, how does the couple across the street who are living in a same-sex union, mm-hmm. how does that affect my marriage? Some people would say it doesn't.
Well, it may not affect your particular marriage, but it affects the institution of marriage, because here's what ultimately happens. If you equate same-sex relationships with heterosexual relationships, what essentially you're doing is you're saying that same-sex or you're saying that marriage is just about coupling. In other words, it's no longer about children. Because if two people can get married who can't have kids, for obvious reasons, the plumbing does not work, then, you know, two men or two women, then you're basically saying that marriage is not about children. It's just about coupling. And when that happens, then people decide, heterosexuals decide, well, if marriage really isn't about kids, there's no real reason to get married to have kids. And what that means is then you have more illegitimacy, which means you have more social costs, more crime, more welfare, more health problems, more issues for society, even if you leave religion out of it. Now the homosexuals are going to say, wait. There's traditional marriage people, like older couples that get married. They can't have kids. Why do you let them get married? Look, a man-woman relationship still symbolizes what is generally a procreative relationship, and it's still the exception rather than the rule. You cannot make laws based on exceptions. Exceptions make bad law. To make laws based on exceptions, you'd have to do away with all speed limits, because every once in a while you got to rush your pregnant wife to the hospital. It's an emergency. So should we do away with all speed limits because you have to do that on occasion? No. We'd have to endorse smoking, because every once in a while there's some guy who's been smoking filterless camels for 60 years who outlives the jogger health nut next to him, right? But that's the exception. That's not the rule. And same-sex relationships, or relationships, I should say, that are between a man and a woman and don't have kids, that's the exception rather than the rule. Most couples do have kids.
John is listening in Roanoke, Michigan on WDTK. John, thank you for waiting, and welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hey, John.
John, your question or comment?
Yeah, I just think this is really a kind of a bunch of crap. I mean,
let's deal with facts, John, instead of throwing out crap. Tell us what the facts are that I got wrong.
Well, the facts are, one, I'm listening that gay couples are not monogamous, and that's
what does monogamy have to do with whether or not a gay couple is the same as a heterosexual couple, John?
Pardon?
What does monogamy have to do with the issue here?
Well, earlier when I called in, the other gentleman was talking about his book that he wrote gay couples are not monogamous, and a lot of health issues and so on related. And you know what? I've been in both relationships before, heterosexual and with a man. And I've been with a man for over 5 years, and we've been completely monogamous. And I think it's a personal choice. We are both Christian, and we know many other couples like us. Just because society doesn't accept us doesn't mean that we don't accept ourselves. So,
does the Bible accept what you're doing? You say you're Christian.
Yes, that's
correct. Where does it accept it?
You know, again, it's a personal choice, and we, you know, I don't take everything literal that the Bible actually says, which I know most Christians would argue, but, you know, we don't believe necessarily that this was a choice for us. We believe we were born that way, so we believe that, at least my partner and I, we believe that God would accept us for who we are because we did not choose to be this way.
John, John, our time is short. I want to give Frank a chance to respond to this. First of all, let's deal with the factual issues rather than start to debate Bible passages back and forth since we're talking about these reasonable public square arguments, Frank. Mm-hmm. On the issue of monogamy, mm-hmm. Every once in a while you can find a long-term homosexual relationship.
Oh, I'm sure there are many, but that's not the issue. The issue is not monogamy. The issue is whether the relationship should be endorsed by the state. Whether it's monogamous or not is not the issue. The issue is, should same-sex couples have the same social status by the government as traditional marriage couples, man-woman? No, for all the reasons we went through earlier.
Is the prohibition against same-sex marriage at any legal level, in effect, discrimination against the homosexuals as individuals, not as couples, but as individuals? 30 seconds to respond.
That's easy. 30 seconds. No, because discrimination is against behavior, not individuals. For example, the First Amendment discriminates against Muslims establishing Islam as our national religion, but it doesn't discriminate against Muslims as persons. All laws, by the way, discriminate against behavior. The law that says that a man and a woman need to get married discriminates against the behavior of any other relationship. But that's what laws do. They say certain behaviors should be endorsed by the state and certain behaviors ought not be endorsed by the state. Maybe after the break we can talk about this Born This Way issue that John has brought up.
Yeah, John seemed to say two things there in his call. He seemed to talk about it as a personal choice, and then later in his call mentioned that he feels that he and his partner were simply born this way and that it was not a choice to engage in this behavior. We'll get Frank Turek's response on the other side of the break. We'd like to hear from the rest of you as well. 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or issue ZTC at KFUO.org. Folks, Pastor Matt Harrison and LCMS World Relief are on the front lines dealing with the AIDS crisis in Africa. To find out about their efforts there, check out our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by calling 1-888-930-4438, 1-888-930-4438. LCMS World Relief, an international relief agency concerned with both body and soul. Pastor Matt Harrison and LCMS World Relief. Frank Turek is our guest, founder and president of CrossExamined.org, co-author of the book Legislating Morality, and author of the article in the Christian Research Journal titled Protecting America's Immune System, A Reasonable Argument Against Homosexual Marriage. We'll get his response to the Born That Way argument right after this.
Anger, self-pity, loneliness, addiction, suffering, and suicide are just some of the topics covered in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January. It's titled Visitation. You can find out more on our website, issuesetc.org, or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Arthur Just is the co-editor of this devotional resource. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Visitation.
If you enjoy listening to Issues Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours weekdays on the Internet? Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click Listen Online, and you'll find 12 new hours Monday through Friday. You can listen live on your PC, or on demand, or on your iPod or MP3 player. issuesetc.org, and tune in weekdays to 12 new hours of Issues Etc.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen, senior editor at Concordia Publishing House, on the Christ-centered cross focus of Growing in Christ, the new Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House.
We've been very intentional in one, teaching the scriptures. We are concerned about Bible literacy. Pastors tell us they get kids in confirmation that they don't know any of the Bible stories, they don't know any of the Bible people. So we're trying to teach the Bible stories, the who, what, where, and when. But we're teaching them in the context of Christ. And every story, every week, be it Old or New Testament, connects to Christ as the Savior.
For more information about Growing in Christ, call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or find the Growing in Christ logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. It's a Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ. Here's our mailing address. It's Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Here's our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172. And here's our website address, issuesetc.org. You can use any of those to receive a free copy of the next Issues Etc. journal or to join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. It's our monthly or annual donor program, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. 1-800-737-0172 or issuesetc.org. Frank Turek is our guest. We're talking about same-sex marriage. Would you respond to, briefly to the born that way argument and how it is how it's used to say, look, we simply cannot legislate against gay marriage because there's so many people who can't help this behavior. It's natural to them.
Well, suppose I was born with the propensity to gay bash. Would that make gay bashing okay for me?
I don't think they would think it is.
No, the point isn't whether you're born a certain way or not. The point is the behavior helpful or not? If it's not helpful, you ought not engage in it. See, we all have desires we ought not engage in. I mean, that's axiomatic. We all know that. Our country was founded understanding that we're depraved and that we're fallen. And as James Madison said, he said, if men were angels, no government would be necessary. So we do need a certain amount of government to restrain evil. And in fact, the principled restraint of destructive desires is called civilization. So we all have desires we ought not act on. Now, I think the issue of whether they're born that way or not is irrelevant to the law. The law deals with behavior, not desires. But let me just ask the question. If people are born with a propensity for same-sex relationships. My question is how? How are they born that way? I mean, how do they get this particular gene, whatever it is? Because by definition, homosexuals can't reproduce. So how are these genes or whatever they are, and by the way, it's never been determined scientifically that there's a genetic aspect to this, but even if there is, how? How are you born with this genetic trait? But again, even if you are, that does not make the behavior right. And my question for anybody, not just homosexuals, but anybody who has a desire that might not be helpful is, should human beings act on every feeling or desire they have? Should we?
The law says no.
The law says no, and common sense says no. If I acted on every feeling or desire I had, I'd be dead already.
Let's talk to Jim in Chicago. He's listening on WYLL. Jim, thank you for waiting, and welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yeah, I'm confused about two points. The first is the Bible talks about, the Bible recognizes the power of sex, the libido. It says, if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. So I guess from your point of view, the way things are arranged is the heterosexuals have an out. They can scratch their itch. But homosexuals have to burn. And they have to remain lonely, sexually frustrated, and possibly self-hating. Is that what you advocate?
All right,
no.
Jim, thank you very much. Frank?
Good question, Jim. No, I don't advocate that at all. The question isn't whether or not they should burn. The question is the behavior right? I mean, should you say that pedophiles should just act on it because otherwise they're going to be frustrated? No. The issue is the sexual behavior in question healthy and helpful or not? From a societal perspective, forget religion for a second. from a societal perspective. No, it is not. So we ought to restrain, or at least not endorse. If you don't want to restrain it legally, at least don't endorse it. What same-sex marriage does is it endorses the behavior. And when the government endorses something, you get more of it. And when you get more of it, you get more of the negative effects that go with it.
Before we wrap up this hour, do you think that we have crossed the point of no return where sooner or later, either at the state level or nationally, there will be a legitimization legally of something resembling same-sex marriage?
Well, it has already happened, as you know, in Massachusetts, and that was judicially imposed. And in California, they're trying to do it there as well. So it's already happening. You've got a few states that have civil rights, or I should say civil unions, which are kind of marriage-like, but there's still government endorsement of a negative behavior, which just gets more of the negative behavior. So I don't know whether we've passed that or not, Todd. I hope not, but, you know, as our country continues to go downhill with these moral issues, ultimately it's going to implode on itself, and the United States of America, who knows if it'll be here 100 years from now. I don't know. I'm not a prophet.
We've talked a bit about marriage as a kind of an abstract institution, men and women and things like that. What about children, which, according to traditional marriage, are kind of the natural issue of marriage?
Well, that is really the central goal of marriage from a society's perspective. I mean, just ask the question this way, Todd. Two questions. Question number one, what would happen if everybody lived faithfully in traditional marriage? Whoa, gee, you'd have less crime, less welfare. You'd have better children. You'd have more educated children, children who are taken care of better. You'd have fewer abortions. You'd have less child abuse. You'd have a much better society, right? Now, second question. What would happen if everybody lived faithfully in same-sex marriage? What would happen to society? It'd be over in a generation. Be done. That should tell us something about whether or not we want to put same-sex relationships at the same level as traditional marriage relationships.
Let's go to Cedar Falls, Iowa. KLTE, Manel is on the line. Manel, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello.
Hi, Manel.
How are you?
Very well. What's your question or comment?
Well, my comment is, I know it says here in Romans chapter 1, verse 26, it says, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts, even their woman exchanged natural relationships for unnatural ones. It seems to me that the behavior itself is not a good thing for same-sex marriages, and I just think that we could love the sinners but hate the sin itself. But what I don't understand is lots of Christians say, in the name of God, hate the homosexual person. I think that's why they want to become homosexuals. I'm not condoning homosexuality, but I'm saying that, is that the case, that maybe there are Christians who go there and say, God hates homosexual people because you should hate the sin itself. It's wrong itself to be a homosexual, and it's bad for the kids because they will grow up thinking, I have two mommies. I don't have a father. I want a father, too. Like Johnny Howard School has a mom and a dad, and they're traditional, and they're happy, and I just don't see why homosexuals can't understand the heterosexual relationship.
All right, Manel, thank you very much. You got a minute to respond, Frank.
Well, I would just say I reject the notion that there are such a thing as homosexuals or heterosexuals. In other words, we're males and females. We're not homosexuals and heterosexuals. We may have desires to be homosexuals or heterosexuals, but what we do with our behavior or what we do as behavior does not define who we are. Who we are, we're beings made in the image of God. That's what we are. We're human beings. And what we decide to do is based on a choice. So, John, the previous caller is right. We do make a choice, and sexual behavior is always a choice. It's not something that is predetermined. Our desires, wherever they come from, we always have a choice whether or not to act on those desires. And by the way, homosexuals who like to equate what they do to race are completely off base, because same-sex marriage, or I should say same-sex relationships, have nothing to do with race. They're not equivalent at all. You'll find many former homosexuals. You'll never find a former African-American. I know you're thinking Michael Jackson, but he's had surgery, okay? The point here is that behavior is one thing, race is another. Let's not try and confuse the two. Sexual behavior is always a choice. Race never is.
Folks, we're coming to you live this Sunday night, January the 20th. We will continue to respond to your phone calls and to your email on same-sex marriage and give away the pamphlet, Same-Sex Marriage, Right or Wrong, to listeners with the best questions or comments in this next hour. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Make sure and tune in live for this next hour on the internet, issuesetc.org. Click Listen Online. You'll be able to hear the entire next hour, and that conversation will only be broadcast on the internet, issuesetc.org. Our call-in number, and you can call during this break, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. From a biblical perspective, we've talked a lot about the rational arguments here in the public square that are very, very necessary. From the biblical perspective, the matter is rather simple. Why would someone... Look, it's your own view. Why don't you just keep it to yourself and live and let live and laissez-faire and let the other guy do what he wants to do or the other girl do what she wants to do? Well, the Bible doesn't permit us to do this. We're here, redeemed by Jesus Christ, to serve our neighbor in love. And if homosexual behavior and same-sex marriage is not only bad for society and the culture, but bad for the individuals who engage in it, they are our neighbors, biblically. And that means to serve them in love is to, sometimes in spite of what they want to do or what they desire to do, see to it as best as we can that through this society, through the laws, through the culture, we do not permit them, insofar as we can, to engage in behavior that is harmful to them. It would be unloving to do otherwise. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.